The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Good afternoon to you. It is The Hard Shoulder. I'm Mark Cagney, sitting in for Kieran Cuddihy. Now, the online portal opened for people aged 60 to 69, well, actually starting off at 65 to 69, to register for their vaccine, and 9,000 people registered within the first hour. However, the process is more cumbersome than we might have expected, having heard Minister Stephen Donnelly on the programme last night. There are, in fact, wait for this, 39 steps. Somebody's a fan of Alfred Hitchcock, obviously. I'm joined now by Catherine O'Keefe, who's the Director of Training at Castlebridge and co-author of their book on data ethics. Catherine, good afternoon to you. We'll also be joined by somebody who has actually been on the portal today to get their user experience. But we'll start with Catherine O'Keefe. Catherine, have you had a look at it? And if you have, what do you think of the online portal?
Well, I'm too young to go through it properly myself, but I did have a look at the video that the HSE gave to explain how to use the portal. And it is clunky, but I can see what they're trying to do there. They're trying to balance making sure that they can get the information and verify that who you're supposed to be and that they can actually communicate to you. So you've got your email and your SMS verification processes to make sure that your messages will actually get to you when it comes to scheduling your vaccinations. So it is clunky. It might be difficult to navigate, but they're trying to balance that question of ensuring that they get good information and accuracy and that they're able to contact you as necessary with the user experience.
Mm. I'm surprised actually that you use the word. I know some people have said cumbersome, you said clunky. By and large, government and semi-state websites and portals tend to be pretty user-friendly. They're kind of, and I don't mean this to offend anybody, but they're kind of idiot-proof. It's almost hard to do the wrong thing with them. But there are some big concerns about this. First and foremost, particularly at this stage of the rollout, this portal is being aimed at people who are 60 plus, 65 plus. Therefore, they are not digital natives. Now, I mean, I know there are an awful lot of Silver Surfers out there and all the rest of it, but by and large, that age cohort, they're not digital natives. So therefore, it needs to be really user-friendly. And the other big concern, and this may be more worrying in the long run, is that they're asking for far too much information. Double authentication, which is actually twice what you'd need to access your online bank account.
Absolutely. I've looked through the data protection impact assessment that the HSE gave for this. And while I think they could maybe do better in communicating why they are asking for the information that they are, because as you say, we are targeting people who may not be constantly aware of how data is used and may not have the most up-to-date information on how technology is used. But when it comes to making sure that your email is correct and that your phone number is correct, if they're going to be contacting you to schedule a vaccination, they need to make sure that they have the ability to use it to actually contact you with that, or there's no point in using that system at all. So I can see the need for clear verification steps, and does make it slower. And it's very frustrating when you're trying to get something done and you have to go through several steps. That can be a problem for getting people of any age to use a computer system.
But I mean, one of the requirements, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the requirements is your PPS number. Now,
yes.
It is highly, highly unlikely that you're going to have somebody else's PPS number. So once you have that and that's been authenticated, mm-hmm. why do they need the extra layers?
Okay, so which extra layers are we looking at here? Phone number, contact information, that's the extra layer for, of course, the purpose of contacting you. Air code, they're trying to make sure they know that they can get you to the correct vaccination center. So they did describe that in the process there. Other information that they're getting is actually, so they're looking at a few different purposes. They're looking at making sure that they get vaccines into people's arms, that they have a good, accurate record of who has been vaccinated. Then they're also looking at making sure that they can monitor the safety and improve the safety of vaccines so that they can track any potential future issues and improve safety of vaccines. But also they're looking for proper data for the public health purposes to make sure that the vaccine program is working, that they are actually getting to the various population areas that they need to. So they are looking for demographic information to ensure that they can understand patterns of vaccination in the community so that they can improve public health, so that they can make sure that they are actually being equitable in getting the vaccine out to people. So yeah, they've got a few different reasons.
Yeah, and you can see why all of that extra information would be very useful to them in terms of their modelling. But in terms of the group that they are trying to target and get the jab into their arm, it smacks of more information than is absolutely necessary to take care of these individuals.
Yeah, they need they're looking for the information generally. Again, part of it is actually to make sure that younger people aren't skipping the queue as well, which is, again, fair.
Okay, fair enough. But look, if you've got a PPS number and you've got somebody's air code, it's very hard if you've got those two pieces of information for somebody to jump the queue.
Mark, I didn't actually hear you there.
I'm just saying that if you have to submit your PPS number and your air code, very hard for anybody else to have both those pieces of information for you. So very hard for somebody to either impersonate you or for somebody to jump the queue. Listen, Catherine, you do this for a living. You put these kinds of programs together and then you train people how to use them. As a kind of IT professional or as somebody who mentors people through these things, what did you make of it? Give it your professional rating.
Yeah, so what I would make of it is a clunky system. They may not have absolutely the most clear communication of why they need all the information they're asking for. But as a data professional, I'm in more the use of data than I am in the actual IT systems. I looked at the data that they're asking for, and it seems reasonable for the various purposes that they state that they need it for. There would be questions I'd still have.
Oh, we seem to have lost Catherine there. We'll try and get back to her. Now, look, I suppose the best person to ask is somebody who it was aimed at and somebody who actually went through the process this morning. And we're joined on the line now by Sheila, who did exactly that. Good afternoon, Sheila. Thank you for joining us on The Hard Shoulder. You went through the process this morning and you had some problems initially?
Yes. Now, what that lady was saying, I don't think the information they were asking for was too much, because what they're actually doing is checking the information you put in today against the information they have against your PPS number.
Okay.
So I didn't really think it was too much. But what happened to me this morning, I was ready at the starting blocks, and at 2 minutes past 10, I logged in. You just put in the first basic bits of information. Then it tells you that you will receive an email asking you, given a link that you click on to make up a password, but you've also got to enter the 5-digit code they're sending you by text at the same time. So check my email, the link was there. Checked my text, no code, no text from the HSE. So
right.
I kept checking and checking and nothing happened. So I tried ringing the HSE, couldn't get through. I tried different things, and it does say somewhere that if you come out of it or you get logged out, when you go back in again, the initial information you put in will still be there. So I went back in again and I thought, okay, I'll try and fix this. This was now 45 minutes and no text. So I decided I would, when I went back in, it was going to the next stage, which was asking for my password. So I put in gobbledygook, which it didn't accept. It asked me again for my password. Again, I put in gobbledygook. Then it asked me to enter the code and I just put in 12345. Then it gave me the option of receiving a new text and code. So this time I did get the new email and I did get the text.
So you tricked them, basically.
I tricked them.
Now
I decided to trick them.
Okay, so you know, you sound like a digital native, by the way. I wouldn't have known how to do that.
Well, I worked with computers until I retired, so I'm not too bad.
I'll bet you did.
I entered the code.
Yeah, go on.
And finished it off in seconds.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, you didn't check your spam folder for the missing text code by any chance, did you?
No.
And the reason I asked that question is because there was a caller into the Pat Kenny show this morning saying that they didn't receive the text code, and then when he went into a spam folder, he found it.
Well, I didn't actually realise that your phone had, your text had a spam folder. So I went into settings attached to the text, and in one of the areas there was a reference to spam and scam, but I could not find an actual spam folder.
Oh.
So even up to now, the text has not come through. Now, if it's in a spam folder, I cannot find it. I did find a reference in settings to spam and scams, but I can't find a folder. And a lot of people wouldn't know.
No, they wouldn't.
That your text has a spam.
Right. Okay. Now, look, you.
But other than that, I found it okay, because, as I said, I think the information they want, they're just double checking that against the information that's logged against your PPS number.
Right. Now, as you just said,
it's like a double check.
Yeah.
And as well as that, you can't enter multiple times, because if you come out, it holds the information, and when you go back in, it'll tell you you're already logged in, and it'll bring up the information I put in initially.
So they're probably
trying to avoid double booking.
Right, and there has been problems with that already, as we know, well documented. Now, you've said you're obviously familiar with computers. If you were not familiar with the internet, using web portals, etc., do you think you'd have managed to go through the system on your own?
No, because you wouldn't have been able to get the code. You couldn't put the password in without first getting the code to make up the password. So you would give up, and then you would ring the HSE, as I did. And after 25 minutes, I still hadn't got an answer. So what do you do?
Right, okay. So in review, you don't have any issues with the amount of information that they were looking for. You don't find that it was too nosy or too much of an imposition. You don't feel that your privacy was being breached. But as somebody who is familiar with computers, you, in all fairness, hand on heart, would say that if you had not been, you would not have gotten through this morning.
No, because you couldn't get the code. You couldn't put in the password without first getting the code. And I couldn't get the code.
Well, Sheila, in all fairness, if that is what you've said, and I'm only just repeating what you said or summarising it, that's not good enough, is it? Because there will be thousands of people who will not have your familiarity or your expertise, and they're going to throw their hat at it or are going to give up in disgust.
Well, I didn't know my text on my phone had spam, a spam folder, but I couldn't find it. But then you're reduced to ringing the HSE, and I couldn't get through. And it's going to be like that. It'll be impossible to get through.
Okay. Well, listen, I suppose, last question. How do you feel knowing now that you are registered and that you will get your vaccine in the not-too-distant future? Are you happy?
I am absolutely over the moon. I can't wait.
Do you know what you're going to do first time you're able to go out and you can keep going?
Well, you can't actually do that because you get the vaccination. You still have to be so careful.
Okay, but
because the whole thing about the vaccination is so that, God forbid, you do get coronavirus, you won't get it as bad. And if you do get it, hopefully it won't kill you. So you just can't decide, okay, I'm vaccinated. Yippee, off we go. I don't think you can do that.
God, you're a model of caution and propriety, aren't you?
Well, I want to stay alive.
Well, now, judging by the sound of you, I'd say there's no fear of you. Sheila, thank you so much for that. And that was a very honest appraisal. And Sheila doesn't have any agendas. She was just somebody who logged on this morning to do what she was asked to do and to follow all the rules and regulations. She happens to have a expertise in the area. She didn't find it too intrusive or too nosy or asking for information she felt uncomfortable giving. But she did not find it an efficient system. And if she hadn't had the expertise, she wouldn't have been able to get through. Now, Patrick has contact.